Good evening, church.
Good evening.
Welcome back to our appointed time on Sunday evening in Thomas Village Baptist Church. All those out there in Facebook land, if you're watching, and if you're out there in the parking lot listening on the 88.1, we welcome you. And as always, we start off our service with a song. So let's stand and lift up our voices to the Lord, number 288, 288, where He leads me. I can hear the Savior. See you again tonight. We'll kindly be kicking off in the book of Psalms, chapter 8. Psalms, chapter 8. But before we kick off tonight, I do want to say thank you for making the effort to come out. I don't think it's got no brighter than the evening and today. If anybody asks you what time it was, just say evening time. The lights in the parking lot have stayed on all day long. They've been on all day. But I do want to thank the Lord for His presence this morning. What a wonderful spirit we had in the house of the Lord today. It's just good to be in God's house, good to be with God's people, and so thankful for His presence. And, you know, that makes the whole difference. is the presence of the Holy Spirit being here. And if he's not here, then we might as well just go to the house, you know, and could have better worship time at the house. But before we do get into Psalms chapter 8, we will be looking at about 8 different names that the Bible gives us to the Lord for the Lord as we go into 2023. It's just good to know that he's for us, and if he be for us, then who can be against us? And he's the answer to any prayer we have. I mean, there may be something that he needs to, that he's able to grant into our life with some tangible or physical need, but he's the one that is the one that meets that need. He is the one that meets the need, and we'll be looking at that. But before we go into our prayer needs, do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight? I do want to thank the Lord that last Sunday marked 6 years. That was my first Sunday here, and time goes by fast, don't it? I mean, my gracious to goodness, it don't feel like it's been 6 years. It shows in my face when I look in the mirror, it shows. But I will say, thank God I'm down to the smaller pants than when I come in here. I mean, I was in 36s when I got here. I'm in 32s now, so to God be the glory for that. I can't say I'm healthier, but my britches are smaller, if nothing else. Anybody else got a word of praise or testimony tonight? In the way of prayer needs, we do have some, and like I said, I'll be working on some new. This is the ones, a new prayer list. This will be the one from last Sunday and Wednesday night. But if you remember, a few months ago, we entered into an agreement with the police academy that there's some that that need sponsors, need people to pray for them, the cadets that are in the academy, that we pray for them, write them letters. I'm hoping that one of our Sunday school classes will come along and talk with Miss Amy about that. But this one, this time, is a part of the Scotts County Sheriff's Department, and her name is Deputy Whitney Pelletier Jones. And so we're going to be praying for her over the next 11 weeks and sending her cards and just letting her know that we're thankful for her commitment to the safety of our community, and that we back the blue, that we stand with law and order and the police. So we want to lift her up. And then in the way of other needs, we have Colt Addison. We want to pray for Sister Carol and Brother Jimmy Edwards, Brother Roy and Sister Phyllis. Eddie and Michelle Bishop, continue to lift up Michelle, and both of them specifically, Brother Wayne and Sister Shirley Bledsoe, Sister Helen Bowen, Donna and Amanda Campbell, Sheila Cantrell, Sister Moselle, Sister Caitlin and Brother Chris and Baby Cole. As we're getting closer to that, this week is the baby shower that they'll be having for Sister Caitlin and the baby girl. Let's remember Sister Peggy DeBoard, David and Eddie Duncan, Molly Edwards, Sally Grebe, Terry Hall, Lydia Hensley, Junior Hill, Bridget Holmes, Judy Hughes family, the DeLong Jesse family, Jesse Lottie Johnson, Josh Lester. Continue to pray for Charlie Moore, Denise Mosher, our government. Thank God that they've got a speaker in the appointed. Brother Danny and Sister Sherry Roten, talked to him this morning, and just continue to be in need of our prayer. Brother Leonard and Sister Nancy, Caleb and Leah Richardson, as they've entered into sacred union and eyes of God, holy matrimony. Kay and Russell Fuller, Rick Sawyers, Noah Saucer family, Jim Smith, Tom Sparks, Peggy Stoller, J.C. Starnes, Fred and Shirley Sullivan, Charlie Taylor. Also continue to pray for Logan and Baby Shepherd, and then Brother Frank and Sister Melissa. She was still running a fever this morning. Not quite sure what it is, but there's so much that's going around right now. Michelle Miller, Bo Griffin, Joyce Smith, Sonia Rogers, Steve Gunner, and then the Dorothy Levesey family. Pray for her. She went home to be with the Lord this week. Are there any other prayer needs that we need to add to the list tonight? Yes, Sister Donna.
Asking for Ruben.
Say that name again.
Shelby.
Shelby. Thank you, Sister Donna. Anyone else?
And Jeanette Brogan.
Jeanette Brogan. Lynn Livingston. What was that last name, Roger? It's good enough for me, brother. Not that I'll say it right the next time I try to say it, but I'll do my best. Anyone else? Yes, Sister Lynn. She's dealt with the issues. Is this the first time she's been sick, or she's? We'll do it. Lynn Bias. Thank you, Sister Lynn. Anyone else?
Linda Phillips.
Linda Phillips. Anyone else? Most of all, we want to remember those that don't know Christ. We have a list with many a name on it here. We want to lift those up. And there is just a lot of sickness going around. As I mentioned, my brother has pneumonia right now. And then if you've watched any sports recently, there seems to be just the kindly uptick of athletes that's having heart issues right now. And so we want to remember them. And all that's going on, as we studied Wednesday night, I think we're just seeing the birth pains of the end times beginning to, the contractions are getting closer together and more intense. Anyone else? Tomorrow morning, yep. Anyone else? All right, Brother Gary, if you would, open us up a word of prayer and then lift up all these prayer needs we have tonight. Where you at, it'll be fine.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and to worship and praise you as our most holy God. And you are the creator and sustainer of all that is. Father, we just give you praise and give you thanks for all of the blessings and Father, for the opportunity we have together.
Yes, Jesus. Psalms chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 9. I want to look up something real quick. All right. Is everybody there in the book of Psalms chapter 8? All right, let's read together. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We're here, this is the reading of writing of David, and what he's presenting here as he begins in verses 1 and ends in verse 9 is he is declaring the excellence of the name of our Lord God. Some translations may say, how magnificent is your name in all of the earth. And to look that up in the Hebrew, the meaning is, hey, how mighty, how strong, how physically powerful, large and mighty in size and in class is your name. Meaning that it is basically the name of our God is superior to any other name that can and will be ever mentioned in all of the tongues that have been spoken by men. He says, as he's talking about this, he talks about how that in your name you have given us strength to be victorious over our aggressor. David is marveling at the works of God's hands, how his love for humanity so much that God has provided for us a Savior, and that name is Christ Jesus. And in spite of the fact that we are the lower forms of creation, that we're, like we talked about this morning, God is as an elephant and we are as an ant, he has still not only allowed us to be his representatives here in all of creation, but also he has given us authority over all of the creation, that the beasts are under our feet. And then also, if you read over in the book of Hebrews, this is, I believe this is kind of as you read in chapter 1, how that we have been visited by God himself, that we have a creator that has chosen not to just stand apart from his creation, but he has chosen to not only be involved in his creation, but to visit his creation and to redeem his creation by sacrificing his own life. But in the society we live in, let me ask you this. When you named your child, if you've got a child, or if you've got a grandchild, how many of you considered the meaning of the name that you gave your child? That you know, now we may have called them the third or junior, or named them after Grandma Sue or Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or something like that. But what about the name that it stands for? What I was doing was I was looking up my name, and it means, it's from the Celtic, meaning that I guess I've got some Scottish and some Viking in my blood. But Brian means high or noble. That there is a meaning or a translation behind my name. How many of you know what your name means? Anybody in here? Ken, what does your name mean? Okay, glad you know. We give you a chance. No, don't come up with that one and tell lies in the church house. Now, how many of you buy that one? Okay, just all in favor say aye. Any opposed, same sign. Okay, yeah. Sister Donna? Lady? Anyone else know? Is Sister Rowena? Source of joy. Look at there, Brother Donnie. Way to go, buddy. Anybody else? I mean, I don't even think Talmadge has a name. Let me look up what Talmadge means. Hold on just a second. If you got your phone with you, look up what your name means. Well, Talmadge means someone that carries a knapsack. That's what. Huh? Okay, it does mean handsome. Well, hey, we can at least say your parents were optimists, right? Your parents were optimists. But no, I'm just cutting up with you, buddy. But anybody else look up their name? Anybody? Come on now. Cole, would you look up your name?
No.
Yes, you did. What does it mean? What was that? I couldn't hear that.
I don't even know. I said cheese.
Cheese? C-O-L-B-Y? All right, now I'm going to have to look up Swarthy. It means dark skin. And my wife just texted me, and that her name means beloved. Okay, that's a good place to stop right there. The bringer of joy and the beloved. But the idea that our names carry a meaning behind it. And as we look in Scripture, it's even more that. I mean, when you look up the names and we see, like just like with Simon and Peter, you remember Jesus gave him the name Peter, meaning the rock. And it was a picture to not what Peter was at the time, because we know that Peter was a little bit, he acted rashly and he put his foot in his mouth and then he ran a little bit. But we see him become that strong figure, that rock that Christ needed him to be in the establishment of the church. And so as we look at Scripture and we see the excellence in the name of God, really and truly, they are... Tonight we're going to look at 7 or 8, but there are so many different names that we could look at. And so tonight the first one I want us to look at is Elohim. And it's over there in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. That is the word Elohim. Created the heavens and the earth. And in Genesis 1:27, as we read this morning, God created man in His own image. And in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And Elohim literally means God is the creator or my creator. Yes, ma'am? Three what? Is plural? Does it? Thank you, sister. I know that it is used over 404 times just in the book of the Old Testament, because it is the Hebrew word. It's used over 404 times, and it's in all of the Old Testament except for the book of Psalms. And the term Elohim is used 731 times. Now, this is all King James Version, but it's used 731 times in the book of Psalms alone. That is over 1,100 times that the name of God, Elohim, or the Creator, is used in Scripture. In Psalms 42, 1 through 2, as the hart or the deer pants after the brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O Elohim, or O God my Creator. My soul thirsts for you, O God my Creator, Elohim, for the living Elohim, when I shall come and appear before Elohim. He is the Creator. His creation is... My daughter might have sent me hers. Hold on just a second. Oh, Maddie means strength in battle there, and I have really nailed her when we gave her that name, that she's a bullheaded like her daddy. But it means that He is our Creator. Like we said this morning, why do we worship Him? Because it is because Him that we exist. Apart from Him, we would have no life. There would be no breath. There would be no earth around us. There would be no roof over our head, foods in our mouth, blood in our body, all those things that we take for granted on a daily basis that really, and I think since we've moved away from the farm and having to grow our own food and to slaughter our own beef and different things like that, we just go and pick it up without really a thought. But during those times when you had to depend upon the rain to come on a regular basis and you had to depend upon the harvest and all that to come in the cycles, or else there would be an absence of what we needed, you're mindful of Him being the Creator of all things that is around us. And as we recognize Him as the Elohim or the Creator, that He is the giver of life, meaning that He has the right to dictate what happens in our life. He has the right to expect for us to live a certain way. He has the right to, what's the scripture say? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because He is a Creator. And in that name, Elohim, or the Creator, it is not only just simply a name, but in that name abides reverence and respect and acknowledging that He is the Creator. And so tonight, as we enter into 2023, we can be reminded that as the Creator, He had the power to speak everything into existence by just the words of His mouth. The intent of His breath is what's created everything. And those same words and that same Creator It is He who holds, He is the nail that holds everything into place. It's amazing to me how it says that the earth is on a specific axis, and that if that axis was to move a degree one way or a degree the other way, that our spinning would go into such a wobble that we could fly literally the way that gravity is. We could fly off the face of the earth, or if we were just a few more degrees closer to the sun or a few degrees less away from the sun, that we would freeze to death. That is how amazing our Creator is. And man is just now beginning wise enough that we can calculate the numbers and put it into a scientific order or a scientific way. But God had all this worked out with just the words of His mouth. Isn't that amazing? That He spoke all this, and we're still trying to calculate all the numbers and all this that goes together. But it is nothing to Him. I mean, it was but just speaking of the Word. So is there any thoughts about the title, the name, how, O Lord, how majestic or how excellent is Your name, the name Elohim or God, our Creator? Any thoughts on that? Then if you look in Joshua chapter 3, verse 10, there is Elohim Hakayim. And it says, "And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Gergesites and the Amorites and the Jebusites." And we think about that, but think about all the different religions. And what Elohim Chaim means is that God is the living God. As Elohim itself, that God is the Creator, or God my Creator, Elohim Hakayim is God, the living God. You think about this. People today are bowing down and praying in the name of Buddha. And there's a clear truth that says that Buddha was born in 563 AD and lived, or BC, and then lived up to 480 BC. And he died at the age of 80. But yet that is the key figure in their religion. That is who they are seeking after, to find eternal wisdom and eternal truth, but yet you can go to his grave. Then there is Odin, the Norse god, Thor's father and the supreme god, overseer of Valhalla, the prestigious holding place of the dead, and according to Norse writings, will face the wolf Fenrir during Ragnarok and die in battle. And you say, "Brian, well, that's kind of crazy. Why are you even bringing that up?" Because this is a white supremacist type religion. And while we may not hear a lot of it right now, it is growing in culture again. And people are believing in the Celtic gods and the Viking gods and all that. But yet, this is all, there may have been men that had those names, but they're dead and gone. There is no testimony to them having any authority or being alive today. There is Allah. He is not a personal, He is not walking or living among humanity, nor has He experienced the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And then there's Christian Science. Christian Science is a modern religion. It was started by L. Ron Hubbard, one who said if you wanted to make money, start your own religion. He lived from March 13th, 1911 to January 24th, 1986, and there are millions of dollars being invested into Scientology today. But all of those are dead. All of those have a place where you can go to worship them. But we have a God who not only is the Creator God who was there and spoke it all into existence, but He is a God who is alive today. He is active in us. When we pray to Him, we don't pray to some figurine. We don't pray to some stone idol or a wooden figure. We pray to a God that is alive and well, one that has always been, always has been, always will be, and is right now. He hears our prayers. He is able to respond. He is active in our life. And every day that we pray, every day that we live, He is always working on our behalf. Is that not an awesome fact that we pray to a God who's here, whose ears and whose eyes are ever present upon us and looking upon us and listening to us? There's Elohim, the God who creates. Elohim I can't spell that word. Charyan. How did I say that name? Chaim, the God that is living. So is there any thoughts about those? Different one, the God who creates and the God who is alive. And then there's probably one of the most intimate names for God, and that is Abba, meaning that the Lord or Jehovah is our Father. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, and Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. In the Old Testament, we see God described as the Father on many occasions, yet he is never addressed as such in the Old Testament. We see with the bringing of the New Covenant, we see the more intimate relationship that is built, that we have been. Not only does Christ Jesus address the Heavenly Father as Abba, but also we see that Paul teaches us and the church that he was establishing at that time that we're able to have that close, intimate relationship. It's a communication and shows a closeness that was absent from the idea of the Old Covenant. As you remember, there was the distance in the Old Covenant that you had to pray through the priest or you had to go through the high priest to be able to have that intermediate or that advocate that we have today in Christ Jesus. Paul told his readers that through the adoption we have been given a solemn, responsible, but also an intimate and an affectionate relationship with the Father. I mean, there's that picture that a lot of today see God as this big, long, bearded figure that's sitting on this heavenly throne on the Mount Olympus, almost like the picture of Zeus, and he's sitting there with the lightning bolt in his hand, and he's waiting at any time. If we mess up, then he's going to hit us with the lightning bolt. But the New Covenant shows a complete different picture of that we have a loving Father that is wants to have the close relationship with us because we are his sons. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We have been brought into. Not only is he our Father by birth through the blood and the new birth of the Holy Ghost, but he's also our Heavenly Father through the adoption of the Holy Spirit. That again, that name there in the New Testament that we have is Jehovah, meaning Yahweh or the Lord. The name which God has revealed to himself, his proper name, which was too sacred for them to speak or to write in the Old Testament, which was Adonai. And so we take the consonants of the Jewish alphabet and we end up with Jehovah, the Eternal One, who is and was the I Am that I Am. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I Am. We have that, the Father in heaven. I don't know about you, but I think that's one reason why we see the day that the devil is attacking the home so much. And while many homes are missing one, either of the parents, either the mother or the father, but most broken homes today, children are being brought up in a home where there is no father figure in the home. And so then, what would you, if you were raised up in a home where the father was absent or he was abusive, wouldn't that leave a bad taste in your mouth if somebody started trying to talk to you about the Heavenly Father and all this? And what? Your experience would not line up with what you're being told. That's an attack of the devil. But that's why God has given himself the name Abba, that we can cry out to him. While it's a respectful term, it is an affectionate term that we can have with him. Any thoughts on the idea of Abba or the Lord is our Father? It is. There's a closeness that's there. There's to be able to. And you know, that's something that's neat about the relationship. And I can say with my father, especially through the teenage years, we went through a time of distance. You know, when he had to be the disciplinarian. I mean, he had to raise a son, you know, and he couldn't allow me just to live the way I wanted to live because there was a standard that he expected out of his son, that he was held up to raise me up in that figure. But as the licks of life came and the realities of what he was trying to teach me, then it moved away from the more of the disciplinarian and the broken relationship, but then it became that intimate, close relationship. And there's really not anything that I don't think I could talk to my earthly father about right now. Now, it might be a little bit awkward at first, but I'm still able to have that conversation with him. And that's what our Heavenly Father wants as well. He wants us to be able to talk to him about anything. And here's the thing. He already knows it. He already knows what the topic is that we're dealing with. No matter how much it may make us blush, it doesn't make him blush. And he's wanting to have that open, intimate dialogue with us. Then in Exodus chapter 17, verse 15, and there are many others. These are just one of many that I've looked up areas. There's Jehovah Nissi. And this is the meaning that the Lord is my banner, or Adonai, Yahweh is my banner. In Exodus 17, verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called the name Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with the Amalekites from generation to generation. In 2 Timothy and elsewhere, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, we see the picture of us being warriors in the army of the Lord. You know, when he called us into his family, not only did he call us in as his children, but he called us to be in his infantry. You remember the old song, I'm in the Lord's army, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. You remember the old song we used to sing in Vacation Bible School? And that, well, that's the truth. You know, he tells us that we are to serve as good soldiers, focusing on the things that God has called us to focus on. Ephesians chapter 6, we're told to wear the armor of the soldier, helmet of our salvation, breastplate of righteousness, gird our loins with the truth. And so as we look, and even today, different infantries, different Marines, different platoons and things like that, they have specific banners that they carry. I mean, even as a country, we have our banner, the American flag, and today, even in America, it's becoming more and more hated because of what it stands for, and that is freedom and liberty. But it is something that it was rallied around. As I've studied about the Civil War, many times you had the flag of either side, the North or the South, the Yanks or the rebels, but then you would also have the local one, like say the First Tennessee or the First Virginian or anything like that. And when the guy that was carrying the flag or the one that would be carrying the flag might be shot or fallen and the flag would hit the ground, one of the first things that was taught was to whoever's closest is to pick that flag up and to lift it up. And that was an idea to rally around the flag. When you did not know what was going on and you didn't know where your people were, you could look and see that flag raised up, and that was where you could run to. And that banner was unfurled over you, and you fought under the authority and for the pride of that banner. And that's what, when we look at Jehovah Nissi, he is our flag. He is the banner that we wave, that we fly, and we fight under that authority of that banner. And there is no greater authority, there is no better flag to fight under than that flag. In Exodus chapter 17, verses 2-11, beginning verse 12, it says, but Moses' hands, you remember when they were fighting against the Amalekites, and you remember as Moses, it says, when Moses' hands were heavy, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on the stone, and Aaron and Hur stayed under his hands, the one on one side and the one on the other, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomforted the Amalekites, his people, with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of the remembrance of the Amalekites from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because of the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek Amalek from generation to generation. If you remember, the picture is as long as Moses' hands were up, you remember Joshua and the Israelites were winning the battle. And that's the picture of Jehovah Nissi. As long as that banner is waving, then we have the victory. He is our banner. And so in that, we look to Him. And as long as He is, and remember, He is the living God, as we just studied back a few names before. We look back at Jehovah Nissi, or the Lord is our banner. Any thoughts about the Lord being our banner? All right, then the next one is Jehovah Shalom, meaning that the Lord is our peace, or Adonai is our peace. And Judges chapter 6, verse 22 and following, Gideon said, "At last, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said to him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, for thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Can you imagine standing in the presence of God? Isaiah 6 verse 5 says that the prophet cried, Isaiah cried, Woe am I, I will be destroyed, as he stood in the presence of the Lord and His power. In Revelations 1:17, John said that he fell as a dead man in the presence of God. And the soldiers, you remember in the garden, when they came after Jesus in John chapter 18, that they were basically knocked back. They were made to fall prostrate in His presence. But yet, that same power that can bring dread and fear and woe is the same power that provides peace that cannot be found anywhere else in the universe. And this peace is such a peace that the Bible teaches us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that it cannot be described. It cannot be explained. It can only be lived. It can only be felt. It can only be known. A peace that will see us through the world's storms and the trials. A peace that will ultimately carry us into the arms of our loving and waiting Savior. I mean, I can't help and I know that many of us have been through things similar. We may have not lost all our loved ones as Job did in chapter 1 and was wiped away. But yet in the midst of that, we see that Job is still able to worship in the midst of all that. How can he do that? Because of that peace that passes all understanding. That Jehovah Shalom. As we were talking tonight, there were names that said this one and their terminal. The other one in their terminal. Well, you know what? Every one of us in this place right now are terminal. You know? We're terminal. There is a date that will be on our tombstone. And the Bible says it's coming to all of us unless the Lord comes back and calls us in the rapture. But the Bible says that in the midst of knowing that we're going to die, we can still have a peace. How can we have that peace? I'll be honest with you. The biggest thing about death right now is not the fact that I'm going to die. It's the unknown that lies on the other side. I just don't know what it's going to be like. If you could tell me what it's going to be like, then that would probably be a lot better. And that's what He does. He doesn't give us the exact how it's going to happen, but He lets us know, hey, I've got it all took care of. Don't you worry about it. I've told you I'm going to prepare it. I'm going to get it ready for you, and so that when it's time, you'll be ready to go. And I've seen people that at one point in their life, they were so fearful of death that they couldn't even talk to you about it. But yet when they got to the point, to the place of death, they were able to say, I'm ready. I'm ready. What is that? That is that Jehovah Shalom, or the Lord is my peace. He gives me that peace. Any thoughts on Jehovah Shalom? Then there is, you know, we've talked about Elohim and El Kanai. And then here we're going to talk about what was that other one? I just said the name to the one. El Hakayim, which is the God is a living God. Now we're in Exodus 34. Verse 14, we're looking at Elkanah, which means that God is the jealous God. the God who is jealous, not just the God who is jealous, but the God who is jealous over me. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 14, it says, "For thou shalt worship no other gods, for the Lord thy God, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Now, in today's society, the idea of being jealous has this negative connotation. But think about all that jealous means. Jealousy means to be vigilant or committed as a guardian over a possession. Intolerant of rivals or of any unfaithfulness. Think about what all that, as we perceive jealousy as a negative, think about all that jealousy does in a positive sense. A man is so jealous of his wife that he doesn't want another man to have her attention. He does all he can. I mean, you think about the different birds, how the male is usually the one that has the puffy red feathers or whatever, the big bright tail. Why does he do it? Because he's jealous. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want his mate looking at any other male. He wants her attention on him. He gives more time. He gives more effort. He gives more money. He gives whatever it is that his lady needs so that her attention will be upon him instead of on some other trifling thing that might want to come around there. A man puts up with more aggravation out of his mate or his spouse. He's willing to tolerate more than others may be willing to tolerate. Why? Because he's jealous over her. A husband will fight for his wife when other men come around and try to draw her attention or anything. And the Bible teaches us that, think about all that the God who his name is jealous. What does his desire to have our attention alone, what has it driven him to do? Oh man, he died on the cross for us. He provides our means. He is going to prepare a place for us. He says, anything that you ever need, I'm going to supply. You don't have to go elsewhere to find anything, that I will be all that you need. Think of all that Jehovah, Elohim, the Adonai has done because he's jealous over me. All that he's done because he's jealous over you. And I mean, how can it be negative if he says in Exodus 34:14, whose name is jealous? Whose name is jealous? And you know, the Bible talks about a righteous indignation. There's a right way to be angry and offended. And in the same way, there's a right way to be jealous, and it's reflected in our Creator who says, I'm jealous over you. And how does that affect us in 2023? Praise God, if he's jealous over us, think about all that he's done to win our affection. What does the Bible say? We love him. Why? Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. He displayed, in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He manifested, or he displayed his love. Why? Because he desired our affection. And he could have made us, but he didn't. He doesn't make us. He woos us. He loves us. He draws us to him. And he does that because of a righteous jealousy. Any thoughts on the jealous Elkanah, or the jealous God? All right. The second to the last one is Jehovah Jireh. This is the one that we looked at this morning. As Abraham was standing there in Genesis chapter 2, looking there in verses 10 through 14, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said unto him, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram was caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, or the Lord is my provider, as it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord. This is probably, as we talked about this morning, one of the most dramatic scenes in all of the Bible, as we see the sacrifice of the Son, the only Son, going to be. And God says, nope, stop. And in that moment, because God said there's going to be a burnt offering. There had to be a burnt offering. It was already set up. The altar was made. The wood was on the altar. Everything was ready to go. So what did God say? I'm going to provide the offering. And we see that in the beautiful imagery in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh is my provider. I won't be found lacking. He makes me to find my rest in place and fertile places of rest and blessing. He supplies my inner man, my inner being, with rejuvenation and life. He keeps me on the right path, even though, I mean, think about it. Death is all, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Every day the shadow of death hangs above us. At any moment, anything outside our bodies or inside our bodies could come and take our life. But up to this point, He has provided everything that we have needed to continue living in this life. So He will not allow wickedness to rob me of my faith in my provider. Even in His correction, I find comfort and security. He has set a feast before me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of those that want to harm me, those that want to do me. But yet in the middle of that, in the shadow of death and in the presence of the enemies, He allows me to flourish. He allows me to partake in a blessing. He has covered my head with healing and fresh anointing. I'm pursued by His goodness and mercy. And goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in the house of the Lord, the picture there is the house of plenty. I can't help but think of the especially coming out of the holiday season, the cornucopia. You know, that it's just that horn that the all the fruit is falling out of, and it's just a continuous abundance of blessing and benefit. And that's the way that our God is. He is our provider, the one who sustains us and keeps us and gives all that we need. And then the last one tonight is El Roha. Anyone want to take a guess on that one, what that one means? I'll tell you who it's got to deal with. It's got to deal with Hagar, the God who sees. In Genesis 16 it says, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, the Thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai-Rohi, because, behold, it is between Kadesh and Berea. Hagar's situation, you know how bad it was. Abraham's wife Sarah prompted her and Abram to come together. And in that lack of faith, the child Ishmael was produced. And then once Sarah conceived, she became jealous of Hagar and of Ishmael. And she cast her out. Basically left her to die, left her and the boy to die is basically what Scripture shows us. But in Genesis 16, it says that Sarah dealt harshly or angrily with Hagar, so much that it brought affliction and distress upon Hagar. And many mothers today, I say, know how she feels, that you're out there all alone, you're trying to raise a family by yourself. But God sent her a message and reminded her, number one, He was going to multiply her seed just the same way that He had promised to multiply Abraham's seed through Isaac. And we see that today. The Palestinians and the Israelites and all that's going on over there, you can track all that back to that situation. But then not only that, God said, even though Ishmael was going to be a wild donkey, is basically what Scripture says. He was a wild buck. I mean, some people say it's just boy being boy, but he was a little more than that. I mean, he was a handful. But yet, even in that, God gave her someone to watch out for her. She raised him up, and then in return. And then God also heard her in her affliction. He heard her cry if she was out there stranded, dealt with harshly. Didn't ask for any of that to be brought onto her or into her life. God has dealt with her. But as we think about that, John MacArthur says of her that she ascribes and gives to God a name having been the object of God's gracious attention. God didn't owe her anything, just like He doesn't owe us anything. But yet, He is El Rohi. He is the God who is looking upon us even as we speak. There is no place. Remember where can I go to hide from God? There is nowhere that we can go. He always sees us. And as His children, not only does He see us, but He looks upon us with favor. Even in discipline, He looks upon us with favor. Genesis chapter 16, she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God of seeing. Truly here I have seen Him who looks after me. She says, hey, in this affliction, I have seen the one who now I realize who sees me. I recognize that He recognized me. Therefore, the place was called Berea El Rohi, which lies between Kadesh and Berea. So we have Elohim, the Lord our Creator. We have Elohim Chama, which is the living God. We have Abba, the affectionate Father. We have Jehovah Nisi, the banner which eternally waves above us, the authority over us. We have Jehovah Shalom, which is my peace. We have El Kana, which is the Lord who is jealous over me. We have Jehovah Jireh, God, our provider. And we have El Roi, which is the Lord who sees. And then there's so many more. Whatever you need Him to be, whatever it is you're missing in your life or you think is lacking in your life, He is that God. He and so much more. What is it? The Bible tells us that He's a friend that what? Sticks closer than a brother. He has one. We just came through the Christmas season. He is the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father. See, there's so many. He is the one that goes before us, who prepares the way ahead of us. You see, there are so many names that God has, but all of them are wrapped up in one name, and that is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. In that name, all that we'll ever need is found. All right, any thoughts about tonight's lesson? Okie dokie. Don't forget, deacons, we're going to be meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And then 11 o'clock Tuesday morning, our prayer meeting. And then we'll be back here, choir practice at 6 Wednesday night and regular service at 7. Right, Brother Ken? All right, Brother Ken, you want to close out a word of prayer tonight?